Hi, welcome back to Developing 2D and 3D Games with Unity on Windows. I am here again with another good friend of mine, Matt Newman, for what is, to me, I think the most exciting session of the day, just because I'm a developer, and I think I'm, you know, okay on the development side, strong on the development side, but on the art side, I can draw a mean stick figure, and I think that's about all I can do.
So we actually get to create some stuff, too, which is pretty cool. I think everybody likes to see that, too.
Yes. So Matt actually put out, well, tell us about yourself first.
Okay. So my name is Matt Newman. I run a small little studio called Subscience Studios out of Tustin, California. We're an indie game studio. We recently completed work on, there's a game for the band Avenged Sevenfold, if anybody's heard of that. It's called Hail the King Death Bat. That's launching on mobile devices very, very, very soon. Before that, I worked in another studio called Mad Menace, and I created a game called Grave Stompers, which you can find on all mobile devices nowadays. It's on iOS, it's on Amazon, it's on Ouya even. It's everywhere. So definitely check that out. It's a really cool game that I made. And then, yeah, today, basically, we're just going to get together and do some 2D assets and create some stuff. And I kind of wanted to show you my process, my workflow, and like what I do when I create assets for the games. And then we're just going to go run with that.
So this is indeed Module 3, 2D and 3D asset creation. And you put out something interesting out into the chat room earlier, asking the folks.
Yes. So, yeah, we put a question out there saying, you know, what kind of character would you guys like to see me create? And we got a bunch of really interesting kind of choices out there and different, you know, everybody had their different characters and what they wanted. What I thought was cool was Triceratops, just kind of, I don't know, I love dinosaurs. That really kind of struck me. And then we kind of tweaked it from there. We did Alien Triceratops, Cyborg Triceratops.
Kept going with it.
Yeah, and then we ended up going with a Barbarian, Cyborg, Alien Triceratops, like hybrid creature. So anyways, I kind of doodled a little bit while the comments were going on, and we did create a version of that, which I can actually bring up here and show you. This was just a really, really quick sketch of something that I was working on. But right here, this was just literally while the comments were happening, so I just kind of came in here and started doodling a sketch. But we'll get back to that when we get to the 2D creation, and I'm going to refine that and actually show you my workflow of taking this sketch and actually bringing it in to Illustrator, creating the different pieces that you could then make move and do different things to create like a skeleton-based character for a 2D game. And also doing it in vector, too. So when you do things in vector, you know, it's really important, I think, to do your character designs in vector, because not only will you have these great crystal clear assets that you can use in Unity and other places, but you can export it in all kinds of different resolutions for marketing materials and other things like print and whatever you use it for. So it goes beyond just the game. So it's a really, really great way to do your character. So we'll get to that when we get to the 2D character creation. But I think to start, yeah.
Both of us have young kids.
Yeah, we do.
And you ever seen Despicable Me?
Oh, yeah.
I'm Vector.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I hear the word Vector, which is often, that goes through my head. So let's talk about a module overview, what we're going to be covering today. Matt's going to be going on a title screen.
So we're going to start with a title screen creation. We're going to show you the different elements that make up a title screen when you do make a title screen. We kind of came up with a concept, you know, for this event, and it was really, really quick. We did it over the last, like, I think 4 days. We kind of knocked this thing out. But we came up with, it was Zombie Pumpkin Slayers, which is basically, it's kind of cool. Just like a off the cuff, zombies are cool. Halloween's around the corner. So it was the perfect type of game to create in the last minute. But we basically, we created a zombie character. We created some enemy pumpkins. A level, we created a cool branding for it, a title screen, all the elements that you need to basically kind of start your own kind of indie game. We just kind of wanted to get it there, give you some cool stuff so you could run with that. We're going to have all the files available after this that you can download and kind of see what we did process-wise. We'll get to that later on where everything's going to be. But yeah, to start, I kind of wanted to show you guys, you know, I always start with the branding. Whenever I create an indie game or a concept or a character, I start with doodling the character, obviously, but then you got to think about, you know, what is the title of this? What's going to grab like the user when they see this game? And so with this, we wanted to start with the title screen of the game. So for Zombie Pumpkin Slayers, I'll actually pull it up right here. Let's see if we go, just give me a second here and we'll load this up. I wanted to do something that was very in the vein of zombies and, you know, pumpkins and slaying and all that. So we, I'll show you right here. This was kind of the end concept of what we ended up running with that we really, really dug. We wanted it to take place in a graveyard. You know, I did make Grave Stompers back in the day, so it was the perfect scenario for this to take place. And the loose kind of theme in the story for this mobile game was we wanted these evil pumpkin patches to basically be spawning pumpkins and taking over the cemetery from the zombie. So you're actually playing the zombie, protecting your cemetery from these evil pumpkins. Hence, you are the zombie pumpkin slayer.
So tell us kind of the overview. What would I do if I want to create a title screen?
So to create a title screen, first you want to, there's different elements that you're going to need to create a title screen. One, you're going to need the logo, obviously, which we have here in Illustrator, this kind of zombie pumpkin slayer awesome thing. And then from that, you're also going to need your options buttons. So, you know, play and options and all that different kind of stuff. And you probably want to style those or choose a font or anything that's kind of in the vein of what you're doing. Like a lot of people, you know, it's very, very common and they just don't have the right font choices in the things they do. So you just want to kind of keep everything in sync and kind of in the realm of what you're trying to create.
There's lots of great font sites on that they can download fonts.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Abstract Fonts, I use that all the time. There's Duff Font. There's all these different sites out there that are great and they're free. And there's lots of freemium fonts to use and take advantage of those. Go through and what's great is you can actually type in the name of your game, whatever game is going to be, in a lot of these font sites and preview the fonts and go through the different categories and kind of say, oh, that looks good. And you can kind of see what it looks like. And then from there, you can download that font, create it, bring it into Illustrator, and then start tweaking it and making it how you really want. For this game, I kind of did something different. Usually, I did kind of a hybrid. I used one font that I found off a font site for the Slayer portion because I just wanted that really crisp and clean, like a Slayer. But the zombie pumpkin, I kind of just wanted to go off with my art skills and do something kind of different. So for the zombie portion, I actually sketched this all out. This is kind of my process I use a lot. You know, this whole thing was done in Illustrator, as you can see here. There's all these different, it's just all vector graphics. It's all traced with a pen. I do things in different layers and then I'll cut things up and just kind of piece it how I want to and piece it all together. I use outlines a lot to kind of just reinforce the different elements. And then I also do collective outlines to kind of really just bring it all together. But for this, I'll show you the sketch here. So if we go into Photoshop, and first thing I did, I like to start on pencil and paper. It's just kind of my way I do things. So I started with this, you know, just a really quick pen mock-up of a zombie logo. Like that's where it started.
So this is the first step you would do creating a title screen.
Yeah, the absolute first step, you know, and I'll just bring this into Illustrator so we can see it kind of side by side. Let me just grab this whole thing here so we can do that.
And how long did it take you to sketch out that kind of little quick text there?
This didn't take too long. I would say this is probably less than 10 minutes of work, just kind of going through and just thinking about, you know, and it's not perfect. I mean, you look at it, it's just very, very loose, right? It was just kind of like zombie. Because I know with Illustrator, you know, I'm going to use this as my reference layer. It's like a template layer. But from there, I can actually take this graphic I made and really refine it and do something cool like that. So you can see the finished product is very, very similar to the sketch that I initially created. But doing that, you know, having this kind of loose sketch as my guideline gave me the ability to really kind of start playing with the elements and adding things like, you know, really refining the look of the stitches and just kind of like cleaning it up and making it crystal clear. And what's cool is, you know, obviously now it's vector. I can use this on anything, right? T-shirts and games on the side of a bus, like whatever. And it's always going to look crystal clean and great.
Stands out no matter how big you make it.
Yeah, exactly. And then with pumpkins, you know, I was kind of like, well, okay, I'm going to try to incorporate pumpkins in there somehow. And, you know, I was thinking about the shape of the pumpkins and the coloring. And so, you know, I kind of threw some little pumpkin nods in there with the shape of these peas and the way that the pumpkins look in here. And kind of just wanted to do that. Like it almost looks like it's carved out of there, kind of like a pumpkin, just to kind of reinforce the differences between the two factions in the game. You know, you've got the zombies and you've got the pumpkins and they got to look different, but have it in the same logo. So I think together, and then from there, you know, I added these little, I thought just the pumpkin vines would be pretty cool. Just as like a detail element on the logo. You know, you want to have something in there. I might even go back and add some actual evil pumpkins on the side or something like that. But I thought this kind of really helped tie it all together. And then the Slayer, just for me, I figured it needed to be something crisp and clear, like,
cool.
You know, like a Slayer would be.
Slayer would be.
Yeah, right. Like a blade. You know, I wanted it like a blade or some kind of weapon, like just something that really reinforced out
absolutely,
you know, the Slayer feel. So yeah, there you go. You know, you start with that. You start with these different elements. When I'm in Illustrator and I bring an element like this, I always, if we look at our layers in Illustrator right here, so you can see there's this little option on the side. If you go over here and you can make it a template layer. So I always make, and you see everything kind of goes like translucent when I do that, right? And so that gives me a nice guide to work from, because it's not harsh blacks and whites, because you can't see what you're working on. It gives you kind of a gray and white version of what you're trying to do.
It's almost like that's your tracing layer almost?
It's like a tracing layer, absolutely. So you can bring your sketches in and then use it as a tracing layer. And I use that not only for logos, but all the characters I make and the different things, I use that exact same thing to basically, you know, trace what I'm doing. I mean, you're really just tracing and refining and making it look crystal clear and nice.
I guess, right? The advantage of computers, you can refine and erase and refine, erase.
Yeah, and I would say the main tools I use, so, you know, when I'm in Illustrator and I bring that sketch in, make it the template layer like we did, you always want to make a new layer above it and call it whatever, just keep it layer two for now, but I'm notoriously bad with naming my layers, which many people are, so don't
layer
feel too
one,
bad.
Layer
yeah,
two,
yeah, and people I work with, they always say that, you know, the layers, I have an issue with that, so I always go back, but I think that's the artist, right? That's the artist in you, the creative. You know, sometimes you just want to run and get things made, and that's what you have to do. But I do suggest naming your layers. I don't not do that. But yeah, from here, you know, we can see, okay, I have this zombie logo. It's kind of grayed out here, the template layer. And I always just grab my pen tool and I fill it with black to start. And then I just start tracing out the logo, you know, and Illustrator has some pretty good lock recognition going on. So it kind of knows when you're tracing over something, where to lock certain things. So you can kind of go through and trace each individual element. And then you throw them off to the side too. So like I made that Z, I throw it off to the side. Then I go back and I want to do like, you know, maybe the O, I'd rather just use the ellipse tool and I can just...
That was our next question. O. How do you do the irregular kind of shapes like that?
Use some of the tools that they have. The direct selection tool right here next to the actual selection tool is how you select, like almost like in 3D where you select your verts. This just kind of gives you a really good area where you can, you know, grab a portion of it, kind of contort it to the shape you're trying to get. So I have that kind of oblong looking O.
And these same tools exist in virtually any of the vector graphic programs, right? So the free one like Inkscape,
Absolutely.
Illustrator.
You knew the same. I would be shocked if they didn't.
Yeah.
Because this is pretty much how it's done nowadays. But from there, you know, you get your shapes. You want to block out your major shapes on your logos. You know, so I'm just kind of going through and tracing these different elements. Just kind of getting those shapes, those big shapes. And I always just kind of throw them off to the side, you know? And once you make them, just kind of throw them off to the side and then arrange it later, you know? Because you just want to get these. You don't want to be drawing over things, you know? Just take one piece at a time.
I'd like to buy a V, a B?
Yeah, no, a B, right?
A vowel.
Yeah, you just come through. And for things like Bs, you know, I always use these like kind of triangle shapes like that. And then there's another tool in here called the anchor point tool, which allows you to get these really nice arcs.
Oh, cool.
So, and that kind of goes in hand with when you're doing like custom shapes, you can get nice curves on them and things like that. So with that B, you know, you just get all the shapes you want, just kind of go in there and you do each piece. And then when you're ready, bring them back in or bring them back into position, and you can add more points to them too, because that's a very simple shape at the moment. But if I wanted to, you know, add some more curves to it, kind of like what you see in the logo, how it has these nice little arches and curves and different things like that, I just go through and, you know, add more points to it. Start using that anchor point tool to kind of, you know, make some curves and different things just to kind of make it unique.
Pretty cool.
The same goes in font creation too. When people make fonts, it's the same process. You know, they're sketching things out and they're just building it in Illustrator and bringing it over to font programs.
That's how they do it.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, that's essentially in a nutshell how I create the logos. And then each piece I do, so we'll just start with the Z right here. Let's just say that was finished and I was happy with that Z. You know, I wanted it a green color, so I'd actually choose the color picker and turn it to like a nice green shade I wanted to. What I like to do is kind of outline my my pieces just to kind of get a nice defining shape for them. So I'll just duplicate that Z, which is Shift Alt. If you happen to know the hotkeys. Yeah, I'm a hotkey madman on these things. So Shift Alt is the way I duplicate it. And as you can see, when I do that, it gives me two versions, and I kind of just arrow it around until I get it in place or snap it into place. I always send it back to the background. And just to make a quick outline, you can just take that piece you just made, add an outline around it, and then just increase the stroke on the outline. And then you just like kind of get these nice letters, right? And then from there, you can just start taking this shape and maybe cutting it up to make more shades and shadows. And like there, you know, I cut out like a little part of the Z to make a nice little shadow on that. And just kind of like think about, you know, how light would hit something and just kind of make it more animated. It makes it, you know, just kind of cooler. And that's kind of my process, really. I just do that about, you know, 500 times. And then you,
repeat, refine.
Exactly. Just repeat, refine, repeat, refine until you have what you're looking for. And then you get something cool that you can use. And then save it out as a PNG, bring it into Unity, use it on your title screens, use it everywhere. You can, I mean, if you want t-shirts done, anything, it's great. I mean, so Illustrator, highly, highly recommend if you're going to create assets for Unity. Some people are different. Some people say no Photoshop all the way, or they might be using another image editing program. Yeah. I just like the crispness of Illustrator. I think it gives you a really nice animated quality. And you have all these great vector pieces that you can really kind of build a library of and arrange them on a page to build sprite sheets and different things that you can use over and over and over again.
So then you'll just export those out, take those images, drag and drop those images in Unity and...
Absolutely.
Place and, in the scene and...
Yeah, when we get into the 2D character, when I actually kind of build this on the fly right here, I'll just show you how I do that. You know, we'll do some different chunks and pieces of them, save it as a sprite sheet, and then you can use those pieces, bring them into Unity, kind of... get it all skeletoned up and have it move around and do different things.
Skeletoned up.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Skeletoned up. I guess that's my term, yeah. So I think next we're going to move on to the...
2D character creation?
2D character creation. Well, let's show the actual title screen, right? So, you know, now that I finished this logo, there's a couple different things you're going to need on the title screen. So, you know, we have this great logo, looks great, but we need some type of splash graphic, I think, to go along with it, because we really want to reinforce the idea of these pumpkin slayers and maybe the world that they live in. Yeah. So with that, you know, I created this little, go here, I'm always losing my files, but when I go here, let's see, we have, nope, that's not it, the home screen, oh, right here. So we created this home screen, and once you're done, there you go. So once you're done with the logo,
nice.
A lot of times, yeah, I'll mark out like an HD size, like 16:9 or just 1920x1080 version of like a home screen, right? A blank canvas. I start bringing in my elements. So I bring in my logo from Illustrator. And then I'll start, you know, creating new assets in Illustrator probably, or even drawing them in Photoshop. And so this was kind of our just really, really loose mock-up of what we were trying to do for the game. But we wanted to reinforce a couple things. We wanted to reinforce the world that this game takes place in, which is this kind of, you know, funky cemetery, right?
Halloween-y.
Like an animated kind of, animated kind of quirky cemetery. And then we wanted to reinforce the enemies, like, what are you fighting in this game? So with that, you know, we thought it was a good, using these little silhouettes of these pumpkins, I thought was really, really cool. And that's something, too, that, you know, if you're doing a game on that home screen, you always like to do something on a home screen that kind of has a consistent kind of animated repetition. So it's not just static when it's sitting there, it's doing something. So not for this, but down the road, you know, you could take those pumpkins and have each one kind of like constantly laughing here and there. Each one would move and
glow
laugh
a little bit.
Yeah, and add little sounds to them and stuff. So, you know, you kind of get this, you really get a sense of the style and the world and what you're trying to create. So, you know, in a nutshell, that's what we did for the home screen right here. You know, it's basic, but we kind of have a couple elements in here that kind of reinforce the theme and what we're trying to do. We chose a font that's kind of a little more of this kind of retro horror aspect of what we're trying to do for the play game, and just kind of threw this together. So very, very simple, but you know, if you're going to start an indie game, you got to start somewhere, and that's always with, you know, the title screen. And with the title screen, you got to have these different elements and lay it
out.
That's
the first thing to hook a person once they've opened it up.
Yeah, they want to see something cool, and you know, you got to have a really cool logo that hooks them right away. You got to have just all these elements ready, and then from there you can start making your mobile game. So
part of the challenge is getting them into your game. I will talk about that later. And then once they've got into your game, you got to hook.
Yeah.
Hook, line, and sinker.
So, next up, I think we're going to get into 2D character creation.
2D character creation, indeed, which is another thing I can't wait to see, because that's another big mystery. Like I said, I can do a little mean stick figure, but as far as creating it past that,
that's where I
defer to you.
So, we got some comments from the people on the boards when we were first getting this thing going, and I think we posed the question of, you know, what kind of character did we want? And I think the winning candidate was a Triceratops ninja barbarian character. So from there, I did this quick little doodle just as the comments were coming in. I kind of collectively chose a couple people's different opinions to create this. But from there, you can see it's a super rough sketch. Like, I never am extremely fine-tuned in my sketches. I really just kind of go off the cuff and create something. I think I did this in a matter of 2 minutes. Just really just go fast, make what you want. Take pieces, cut them up, make them bigger, make them smaller. Just kind of get the roughed out shape and the silhouette of the character you're trying to make. And then from there, you got a really great guideline that you do use just like in Illustrator. You have this template layer to start refining on. So I always start in Photoshop. So right now, I did my sketch. And I definitely recommend using a drawing tablet of some kind. If you have a Surface Pro 3, or if you have a Cintiq, or an Intuos tablet, these are great for on the go. Definitely use a drawing tablet of some kind. It's just going to make your life way easier when you do this.
Take us through. So we've got a slide on a great kind of overview of some of the steps. Talk about kind of some of the things that's required as per what you would do each step of the way.
So when you start, you want to start with your initial sketch of the character, right? And this is kind of what we have here in Photoshop. You can do it in Photoshop, like I did with this, with my Intuos tablet, or you can do pen and paper, on the fly, get it ready. And then from there, you want to create your template layer, right? Which is just your base layer. Don't get overcomplicated with the term template. All it is just a base layer. So imagine like the tracing layer that you're going to use. Your main kind of just rough sketch sits on below, and then you're going to basically build up on top of that, right? So from there, we've got here's our rough sketch. We're gonna make this our template layer. I always start, it's just on white right there. Nothing's separated, nothing's crazy. We just have our sketch right there. I always just make a new layer on top of that. And I'm not working in a really high resolution. Another thing to note, when you're creating characters that you're gonna eventually be tracing in Illustrator and other programs, you don't need to go like 300 DPI or 600 DPI and go crazy with the sketches. Just keep them low res. They're just reference layers. That's all it is. So that's gonna help with a couple things. If you've got a system that doesn't have, the really hardcore guts to really push the graphics and stuff with your high resolution images, you can just, you can do it on a low res device. So you can do it on, tablets with pens or whatever. You can do it in the Surface models are great. I love the Surface Pro 3, has awesome drawing tools in there. And you just want to get that sketch done and then bring it in from there. You bring it into Photoshop, and just with any resolution, you just want to get the general shapes and the general things done, and then bring it into Illustrator and actually start refining them. And just like we did in the logo, right? Tracing each element and making them usable elements, usable vector elements that we can then kind of piece out and kind of create this almost like a marionette, right, of all these different pieces that we're eventually going to bring
in. Control each separately.
They all have anchor points that are going to move, and then you can even do variations of those. Like, if we're doing the eyes separately, you can do eyes that blink, eyes that are scared. You can do mouths that are talking, mouths that aren't talking, all kinds of different pieces. And it depends on the character you're trying to do. But when you do that, it's going to give you a ton of flexibility, especially with Unity's 2D tools. They got really, really great animation tools. And I think it's using Mechanim behind the scenes to do it.
Yeah.
But the blending's awesome. You can actually separate the layers of blending. So the top of your character could be doing one thing, like attacking, while the bottom's running. All kinds of stuff. Very so, cool. Yeah, but back to the character creation. I know people want to see exactly the process.
I want to be selfish here, and I watched you kind of in the room over there sketch some of this out. And can you just show us even roughly?
Roughly?
Roughly, like how you would even start that. Like, I see this kind of quasi-refined thing that you're working on here, and I'm like, wow, geez, where do you even start to draw? Like, that looks pretty good to me. Way better than my stick figures.
So with that, honestly, it's really as basic as just grabbing the pen tool or the paintbrush tool in Photoshop, the airbrush tool, and just kind of just going nuts. And you just want to get your shapes down and just kind of, you don't have to go crazy with it. You just want to kind of define like the shape and maybe even just do some general shapes to kind of get like what you want the character, like his proportions to be, and just kind of different elements, right?
So you find you always use kind of a lot of lines just to kind of
I just go rough. And for me, that's just my loose. I always do that when I'm sketching. I like to keep it loose because I'm going to get rid of this anyways, right? Yeah. This is just, for me, like I'm thinking, okay, like what are these sizes going to be? Like how big is the head going to be? What are the arms going to look like? Different things like that. And from there, you can then start just even going over that and like refining like these different shapes, right? So I know like a Triceratops, he's got these horns and these different things. So this is just really, really basic stuff. I'm just going in and just kind of doodling, like nothing crazy. Like I'm not using my best artistic ability.
But I mean, this is already better than I think I can do. Like when you draw an outline and you immediately go for the Triceratops and you kind of do the horns on them like that.
Yeah.
Have you practiced drawing dinosaurs in the past? Like will you take time as part of your kind of training routine, so to say, and just say, you know what, I want to try to draw a dinosaur today?
You know, it depends. I just tend to, I mean, I've always loved dinosaurs ever since I was a kid, so I know what a Triceratops looks like. Yeah. I know what different things look like, and if you have that vision in your head, just start going nuts and sketching it down. And
just kind of refine it as the time goes on.
Yeah, and even as a teacher, you know, I tell my students when you're working on it, you know, you really just want to be loose and just get that shape of the character, get the silhouette going, get the general shapes going. And then you just start going in and working on top of that and building it up. You know, you don't have to be super, super refined. I think for this guy, you know, we talked about barbarian. So at first I wanted to have this like kind of big barbarian Triceratops with like an axe, but then people were like, oh no, make him a ninja, make him a cyborg, like do all this stuff. So I was like, okay, let's
make him a Ken doll Triceratops driving a car.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like tweaking different elements, right? So I had started with the head because I figured, okay, it's Triceratops, let's at least get that point home. And then we do that. And then from there, we start kind of blocking out the shape. So I wanted these big kind of arms that you got going on here. I wanted maybe like this kind of more cyborgy chess piece with like some kind of diode in the center, and the same with the arms right here, you know, representative of maybe some other video game characters or other cyborg characters people have seen, and just little elements. Well, I don't know what happened there. From there, you just start building your character out. So yeah, I think it's a pretty good reference layer to work with. And I'm gonna get rid of those sketches I saw, even though that was actually looking kind of cool on the side right there. But I'm actually use that head, which is great. You know, this is why you sketch, right? So you kind of have these elements that you can use. Actually, it was pretty close.
It's pretty close.
So, nice. You know, yeah, I mean, this is just my process. You know, this is my workflow. I'm very, very loose on the things I do. But when it comes to refining them, that's when you really take the time and make it look great, right? So, you know, we've got this really, really base kind of template layer that we want to use. And from there, we're going to start like refining this character, right? And even you don't have to go to the point where it's so refined in Photoshop that you're just like, this is perfect, I'm going to use it as is. Some people do that. Some people just love to paint in Photoshop, and you know, more power to them. Like if you can paint, if you can bump this thing up to a high resolution of 300 or 600 DPI, and then you could even do this in layers in Photoshop and do more of a painterly, if you're going for a painterly look, let's say the game you're making has this kind of hand drawn quality and everything's kind of painted in the game, you can use Photoshop to do that and add custom brushes and make really nice painted characters and do the exact same thing you're doing in Illustrator. I'd recommend bumping up the resolution if you're going to use those pieces anywhere else, like marketing materials or whatever, which I think you always got to be cognizant of if you're an artist. You want to make sure that the elements you're producing, you can always reuse, because you don't want to use them once and just be done with it,
yeah.
Right? It's always important to kind of get the most leverage out of the things you create. So, you know, getting back to what we're doing here, I think that, you know, for the terms of what I'm doing, I'm going to show you like a really crisp kind of animated quality.
Okay.
Just my workflow for doing that.
Sure.
But again, like I said, you could use Photoshop to do this if you bumped up the resolution and kind of did the pieces on different layers and whatever. So, you know, we've got some good pieces here to start with. We'll just make this our template layer. And what I do is I always just make a layer on top of everything. We'll name them for the sake of people following along.
You're going to name them now.
Yeah, I'm just going to kind of imagine that as just stacking layers. That's going to be my template. I usually fill it with white, and then I just reduce the opacity on it just to kind of give me like a, you know, that's just, for me, helps me just create like a nice guide. So anything in my sketches or anything, I just stuff down below it, and then I keep this nice, like tracing paper,
yeah,
right? And you
sure.
Just take a piece of paper, stick it over the top, reduce the transparency so you can kind of see this translucent image to work from, right? So same thing, you know, we'll create a new layer, and then we just go through in here, and this is just refining these shapes. And I might not go through and refine everything, maybe just some things that I know that I want to refine that are important to me. But you know, like the arms, you know, I maybe I'm a little tighter in my sketching and just kind of go through and get these different elements that I think, you know.
Like the popping elements, you want those to show out more. And
yeah, exactly. So I'm going in here and just kind of want to, you know, define like some of these cooler elements and visible elements that I want. And I'm not being super, super tight with it, but I'm being, you know, a little bit better than just crazy rough sketches, right? And then, you know, I want people to see these different elements. And I actually, you know, from day to day, I actually work with a Cintiq most of the time. So I'm actually doing this on the screen. So excuse me if it's not perfect.
so that you're drawing.
Like, I'm drawing actually on the screen. Yeah. So this today I'm actually using Intuos, which is fine. For years I use an Intuos, and it's kind of a little hard to go back and do it again, but it's actually kind of fun.
You were cruising last night. I was watching.
Yeah, I was cruising. I was. You were getting that thing done. It was awesome. So you see here, I'm just kind of going through and picking the pieces I like and just kind of refining them and making it look how I want it to look. And yeah, you know, it looks good for an arm. And then maybe I'll make another layer and call that our arm. All right. And you don't need to separate. This is just for reference for me. You don't need to separate these, but I'm just going to do it for the sake of the demo.
Just to be a little bit more organized in the
program. A little more organized. We have some different pieces here. You know, just go through and...
Your team members will say, Matt, good job on the layers.
Right, yeah. And I'll show you, there's actually a method to my madness by doing these layers when we get into Illustrator. But as I go here, you know, I'm just making these different pieces. And, you know, because you got to think of the character. Now you're kind of sectioning them out, right? You're going to have these different pieces that you're going to fully develop and use to be more of like an animated character. So you got to think beyond just the sketch. You got to think like, what's behind the head? Where does the neck connect? Where do the arms connect, right? So we have this kind of body in the center, and I know my head's going to sit on top, but I kind of want to rough out, you know, the shape of this body. So we have this, because when that arm's moving and he's running or he's attacking, you're going to see more of the character. It's not just going to be a static character. And this is strictly for skeletal character design. So when you're doing characters that have more of a skeletal look, not a skeletal look, but have like the skeletal tools that you can use in like Unity or Spine or any of these plugins that people have, you just want to be cognizant of the character and the different elements, and that you're going to be able to see all this stuff. You know, if you can imagine pieces that are layered on each other as they move, you're going to reveal parts that you didn't see before. So, you know, like I said, I'm just kind of going in here and refining this up, and I might just separate these all as different pieces. You know, I think this was chest.
So all different body parts kind of come off into a different layer.
All different body parts. Separately. Absolutely. So we're going through here, making another arm on the side. You know, I'm getting the reverse side of the arm right here.
Actually, right now with the arm and the chest piece, it looks like a robot.
Yeah, it kind of does, right? You know, he is a cyborg barbarian ninja, so I'm trying to reinforce that. So, you know, I'm just doing the different pieces right here.
You ever start out drawing something one way and you're like, you know what, this really looks like something different, and then you just take it in that direction?
Oh, absolutely. All the time. You know, I kind of piece them to where I think maybe they work a little better. And don't be afraid to just arrow things around and kind of get it right. You know, I'll just call that arm. And sometimes I reduce the opacity, just like I was doing with that template layer on certain pieces, because I'm trying to just get those shapes and define the areas that I'm going to be making. So, you know, as I'm going through here, I'm just making new layers and just tracing all these elements I have. I actually really like this second head I was making right here. I thought that looked cool. So same thing. We'll just go in there and start building out these shapes, you know, building out these characters.
And so all these separate layers that you're creating here, you'll import these as separate layers then into Illustrator?
Yeah, you could do that. You could absolutely do that. And that's actually what I was going to do, because I think it's going to just make things easier. And the great thing about Photoshop and Illustrator is I can just drag these layers right in, and they'll just come in as image layers that I can use. You know, as I go through here and just kind of getting the look of this character and what I want him to look like. You know, just defining these different pieces. It's making them look cool.
Draw out the crest.
Yeah.
Horns.
Yeah, you want to get, you know, just kind of getting that style as I go too. And maybe the style even kind of develops as you're going through with it. You know, it's
pretty amazing kind of seeing the whole process done. It is something I haven't spent enough time with, so it's kind of a mystery. I know the tools that are used, but to see it actually done in person is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I'm just going really fast here just for the sake of the demo, just to kind of get this done. I might spend more time refining it, but you know, I want to get into actually creating this so I can see, so I can show you like what I'm doing.
And we're gonna post out, right, some of the code and assets that we're gonna be using for the game out on our websites in the next couple days.
Yep.
We're gonna do a GitHub project out there, so we'll be posting those details out to our websites.
Yep. So yeah, you just wanna make sure you go in here and you get all these pieces and things look weird, you know, go in and just kind of fix them and tighten them up. And I think I wanted to do like a big tooth on this guy or something that just looked different.
Big ogre tooth almost.
Yeah, right? Almost like an ogre triceratops. Or something.
Barbarian ogre triceratops. Ninja Ken doll.
Yeah, and you know, your style is your style, right? So, you know, I think a lot of people get afraid or they try to copy other people too much. Just go for it, you know, like make what you
see
want
how it develops kind of.
Yeah, just go for it and sketch it and see how, you know, make the character you want to make, right?
When you were learning drawing, did you sketch a lot of other things, drawings that you'd see? Would you kind of trace over it and sketch it just to try to learn the motions? Or would you just look at it, do by eye, or both?
You know, I think as a kid, I would just draw like all the time, right? And just create all kinds of different characters and monsters and you name it, right? And I would just go for it and just make whatever I thought was cool.
Pretty cool.
I was the kid in class that was always, you know, I was drawing when I wasn't supposed to. You know, everybody's paying attention and I'm drawing, you know, some character and showing it to all my friends, you know? Yeah. But you know, we have some elements here. I think that's a good start. You know, I don't think we need to go through the full character just for the sake of time. I just kind of want to show you my process of making these. So for here, this is actually kind of good how we have it laid out. You know, we've got two arms here to work with. We've got a chest piece, we've got another arm and a head, and we want to bring this into Illustrator and actually start making it and tracing the pieces. And cool. So we're going to do that the exact same way we did the logo, right? On the title page. So, you know, you save your image out. You know, always be sure to save and all the things you
save
have.
Save early, save often.
Save early and save often.
Best motto of all time.
You know, Triceratops, Ninja, whatever it's called, right? And then...
very nice.
Yeah, be sure to open up Illustrator and then make a new file. Bring it in here. And we're going to place, grab the Triceratops, Ninja. Was it on the homepage or the desktop? There it is.
Triceratops Ninja. Spot.
Yeah. And then when you place it, you can actually kind of size it. So, you know, I got this canvas to work with here. Oh, so I will put it in. There's our piece. And then the same thing, just like in Photoshop, right? I'll take that in my layers. If I get my layers right here. And then they have actually a template function in here. So I just click template. That gives me my template.
That's your tracing layer.
Yep. And then I just go in and I actually start, you know, zoom in on the area I want to start making. And literally you can do it two ways. You can actually use it with the pen tool if you want to. I'm more classic Illustrator. I love the direct pen tool. So I love making the points and actually kind of defining these shapes. But you can go in and just start, you know, making the pieces you want, right? And I just kind of go one piece at a time and I build this entire character out. And so, you know, just like before, I'm using the pen tool. I'm always using the pen tool for everything I'm making just to kind of get these shapes. And like when you're in here, you know, the character might kind of refine itself too as you're going in. You know, you get these kind of nice pieces and just go piece at a time. You know, it takes time. It's not something you can get done super, super quickly.
Interesting. So you don't do it really all at one shot, all little pieces, just like you do all the letters. These are all eye, horn, et cetera. All
exactly.
Guys.
And, you know, I'll, for example, like the eye right here, right? I'm coming through and then maybe I'm just adding like little details on it and different things that I think are just going to kind of make it look a little cooler. You know, you're just kind of going in here. You're using your tools. You're making the shapes you want, like just different cool stuff. Maybe I'm taking shapes and duplicating them to make other shapes. So I actually want to make that eye in there. You know, just get in there, kind of place it where you want it. We'll add some little glass reflections in the eye. You know, she's in simple shapes. Just give it like an animated quality.
Cool.
You know, and the more you do it, and the more you refine it, you'll start getting all these different shapes and building a character with all these different pieces. And I think what we're going to do is, you know, we're not going to go through the whole character right now, but just to give you an idea of my process and what I do, I'll finish this up and we'll throw it on the files you can download, and then you can actually look at the sketch with what I do with the vector graphics and the full completed thing. And
you'll draw it out, export it, bring that image into Unity.
And then we can use all those pieces and make a character. I might even throw a sample character together in Unity that just everybody can see exactly what I did. Triceratops, and then just perfect.
Very, very cool. That was neat.
Yeah, yeah. But in the interest of time, you know, we're going to move forward to 3D creation.
3D asset creation.
3D asset
also
creation.
Another amazing area. I'm amazed by both 2D, 3D. So I think this is going to be really cool. So maybe take us through kind of the overview.
Okay.
Creating some 3D assets.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, you know, I think it starts with the sketch of the characters and what you're trying to do. I don't have the zombie sketch with me, unfortunately. I wish I did. But we needed a zombie character done for the game. We needed it done quickly. And I use Maya for everything I do. If I'm doing characters for games and whatever, Maya, I think for illustrators, is just really, really a great tool. 3D Studio Max is amazing too. I just happen to be a Maya person. I think people are split on which one they want to use, and that's totally fine. Either one's great.
Some folks in the studio that use Blender as well.
Some people use Blender.
talk earlier.
Blender is very different, I think,
if you're
used to one type of program and you move to something else. But from that, you know, I took some screen caps really quickly of just what I was making. So for the zombie character, we kind of just we roughed out this this little zombie guy that we wanted to use, and this is all done in Maya. And just, you know, to show you kind of my process, you know, I roughed out the general shape of the character and the pieces that I wanted to make, used the tools in Maya to do it, and then from there, you know, just put some basic textures on him, right? Nothing really crazy. Just kind of get these simple shapes and characters. And it's almost like when you're doing something and sketching in Photoshop, right? You want to build these chunks and pieces and then just start kind of tweaking them and making them work for how you want it to work and give it a style.
All separate, so you can kind of tweak them all separately.
Exactly. Like, keep all your elements separate. So, you know, when you're working in Maya and you have all these different elements, you want to, you know, think about like the arms and the head and keep them all separate. Oh, that was really bad. You know, your head and, you know, you want to keep, you know, your eyes separate, all the different pieces separate, the legs. I always separate like my torsos and my legs and my arms. Like, all these pieces are just all separate and they're kind of stuck.
So they all move independently.
They move independently, but you can stitch them together if you need them, or you can just keep them separate and build it all as one model with a bunch of separate pieces. You can combine it all together. Like, it doesn't. Don't feel like everything has to be, you know, seamed together perfectly.
Yeah.
But from that, you know, as you can see, as I start building the model, there's other variations of it as it comes. And I'm just, you know, I'm adding details on it. I start adding eyebrows and little hairs. You know, he's a zombie, so he's kind of decayed and he starts to get that look and has a style to him. And maybe try to model your elements more kind of like, you know, how you would draw a character, like into the style and what you're doing with your character. And then from there, you know, we also need an enemy. Right, so, boom, you start
pumpkins.
You start sculpting, you know, your pumpkin, and this is kind of just the process for what I would do to make a pumpkin. I would build my pumpkin. I think I start with a sphere, and I extrude off the top of the sphere, and then I just use booleans to kind of cut out the different elements. So, you know, I'd sculpt like, you can see right here, I sculpt kind of this mouthpiece out, right? Put it in there, do a boolean subtract, and then just start tweaking your verts as you go, and then I'd make a triangle piece, because pumpkins are easy, right? You're just cutting out basic shapes on them.
A lot of the same tools that exist in vector graphics, right? You can kind of add, subtract,
absolutely,
cut out.
Absolutely. And then you start getting the shape, and again, like with pumpkins, I'm just using booleans because we need these awesome pumpkin enemies, and I think they're hollow and they have all these cutout elements. So as I'm going, I'm doing that, and then you start to actually get the character you're looking for.
Now, when you're drawing this in Maya and you want to see it in Unity,
uh-huh,
how often do you kind of do that workflow? So Unity will support the .ma files, Blender files, et cetera,
yeah,
as long as it's installed in the same machine.
Well, that's a great thing about Unity is the cross-platform, I mean, was it cross-platform? No, cross-software support. I guess the software support, back-end software support it has. It works with Maya, which is great. It works with 3D Studio Max as well. But, you know, it supports those files. So I can make a file in Maya, throw it into Unity, into my scene, start moving it around and even resizing it, going back and forth from Maya and saving, and I see it updating in real time in Maya, in Unity.
That's pretty cool.
So it's great for level building, it's great for getting the size of the characters you want. There's a lot of bonuses to having that backwards compatibility. If you're working in large teams that are using multiple versions of 3D editing, always save as like OBJs or FBXs so everybody can access them, because if one person's using Maya and somebody else is using 3D Studio Max, it can be kind of a headache if other editing needs to be done. But if it's just a Maya-only team, go for it and just use Maya files. I mean, that works. Or if it's a hybrid team, you know, go for more of the FBX-OBJ approach.
FBX-OBJ. I noticed a lot of things that come down from the Unity Asset Store come down as FBX or OBJ that you pull down.
Yep.
And those are just file formats that contain FBX can contain model data in there. FBX can contain, I think, up to 5 animations inside of there.
Yep.
So different things you can pack into those file formats.
Yep. And I'll show you. I'll show you really quickly, just for the sake of what we're doing here. There are pumpkin enemy. This was the different files we have. Not sure if we have. There we go. Maya. So when I create an enemy and I do all these different animations for the enemy in the game, we needed all these different things to happen, right? We wanted the pumpkins to bounce. We wanted the pumpkins to bite and attack the player. We wanted the pumpkins to get hit, you know, idle, do cool like little things when they idle. You can do two different things. One, you can put all those animations on one giant timeline within Maya or 3D Studio Max, and then in Unity, actually go through and sequence out all the different animations.
Tell it frame 1 to 40. Is this animation?
Exactly. You can. Exactly. For me, I think that just takes too long.
Yeah.
I just like to keep things organized and have the separate files when I need them. There's bonuses and drawbacks to both ways of doing it. But for me, I like to just create a file and then create the different animation files as separate projects, basically. So if I need to edit a particular animation, I could just open the file, go in, edit it, save it out, done. I don't have to go in and redo all these different animations and stuff.
So if you were to do something like, I don't know, a tombstone.
A tombstone?
If you were going to do something like a tombstone in a 3D tool, what would be your process to start it out? What kind of shapes would you start with?
So for a tombstone, we can kind of look at what we did in the game, right? Do we have the game here, or do you have it?
Game is on this one. I could actually load it up on here real quick.
But yeah, it doesn't. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like Maya, so I can't really show you real time what I do modeling wise. But for a tombstone, I'd use basic shapes. I'm using cubes, definitely using the cube tool. I'm adding edge loops on it, and I'm just kind of extruding it and just making it and defining the shape that I want. If that makes sense, use your basic shapes as a starting point. There's a really, really good...
Here's a preview. We're going to wait. We're going to wait to show this, but this is your first
first glimpse of the project you'll be able to download and play
with. I'm not going to run it now. You guys will have to wait for the 3D session to see that happen. But this is it here. So there's a tombstone. So you would, in the case of, let's take, I guess we could do the center one here.
Yeah.
Talk us through what you would do to create this process.
So for that, I'm basically just using 3 shapes that are all kind of stuck together, right? I've got a hexagonal shape for my bottom platform.
This guy there,
right?
Yeah.
It's just very, very simple. There's nothing going on that except for just a simple hexagon shape, right? Hexagon polygon shape. And then from there, on top of that, it's just a cube right on top of that, right? And then I've just distorted the cube a little bit to kind of give it a little bit of a flare, right? This kind of...
I see along this kind of beveled edge.
Yeah, it's all it is. Very, very simple shapes. And then on top of that, I'm also using a cube for the cross part, and even the little platform lip on the top of that. They're all cubes, right? So that cross on the top, I just started with a cube in the middle, extruded the top, extruded the bottom, extruded the sides to get a really simple cross out of cubes, and then just extruded more to get like little beveled edges and different things, and then you just unwrap it, yeah.
So you'd kind of take, so this is in Unity, which
yep.
I did mention earlier is not really a 3D modeling tool, but you might take, let's go up.
Yep.
And then you would create, what, another cube kind of?
Yeah, or I just create edge loops on that cube, and then extrude from the different shapes I create just to make the shape you need.
Little kind of square right here, and then you would pull that square off to the side.
Yep, and then you can just run with that. And I think the texturing goes a long way, right? So don't think too much on, I've got to have all this crazy detail in the model. Like, yes, if the model's great, that means you don't have to work as hard on the texturing. But if the model is simple, right? And let's say you're doing a mobile game and you really need to be conscious of like your verts and your tries, and you really need to keep those low, what you can do is just really concentrate more on the texturing that you're gonna put on those. So for that, I mean, you're looking at, I think it was like, 300 tries total for that whole cross piece, but with the texturing, you can get a lot of leverage and you can get a lot of leeway out of taking this simple, simple model, but adding all these really cool details and taking your time texturing it.
And by tries, you're talking about all these little kind of subdivisions on here.
Yeah, so
probably
yeah.
A little bit in the 3D course, but that's
absolutely
all the triangles that make this up here.
Yeah, tries are just the triangles that make up a model, right? So when you ever hear that term tries, they're talking about the triangles that make up a model. There's 2 tries in every square, every face, basically. So, you know, that's basically all you're doing is you want to be conscious of your try count. For me, a mobile games and the mobile games I'm doing, I always like to use, you know, this is just my reference, but if I'm looking at the amount of tries on mobile devices, I want to target a large mobile device, right? I want to do all kinds of different devices of every speed and whatever, at least like current gen models, right? I always want to target around 30,000 tries, I think, for my baseline of the amount of tries I want to see on the screen at any time. Anything over that, you're definitely going to get the newer devices, we'll run that fine, but I think lower devices, which is your huge audience pool, you know, you want to keep that as like your guideline. I always say 30,000 tries is like the limit. And then from there, you know, you just want to be conscious on the characters themselves, right? Keep the try counts lows. I always like to keep the try counts on my characters. If I have a lot of characters in the game, let's say it's like a hack and slash game and you're running around and all kinds of stuff, I would say I'd keep the try count on each character around 2,000. Not go crazy on that. That's always worked for me, and that's just me, right?
It depends how many of those characters are in the scene,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you could go higher. You know, there's a lot of games out there with these really high characters, but there's maybe only two characters on the screen, so they can get away with all kinds of tries and all kinds of detail out of just two characters. But if you're doing, like, a huge, epic, like, RPG-style game or hack and slash, and there's tons of characters jumping in the screen, you want to be very cognizant of the modeling of those characters and the tries that they account, because that's all memory, especially on mobile. It's going to fill up that memory really, really quickly. So just some little tips, you know, you want to be cognizant of when you're building your mobile game. But that's pretty much my process when I'm doing things.
That's pretty cool. I noticed that some folks in the industry, you see that they use a lot of different tricks. Like, let me see if I've got one here.
Sure.
I don't think I have. We do have a palm tree here. So I can go ahead and place a ton of palm trees on the scene. And these look like they're all 3D models, which I just placed 10,000 of them on my scene here. That's the awesome button there, mass place trees. I love that. So if I was to drop a little character on here and start running around, you would think that it would be incredibly inefficient on here. But one of the tricks used in the industry is called billboarding, which Unity will do behind the scenes. So rather than showing you these 3D models, you can actually go in and specify some of the options here. And it will, in turn, basically create a 2D image that no matter where you rotate, kind of rotates with you. It looks like you're viewing a 3D model, but it's really just an optimized 2D image. And then as you get closer to an object, it'll show you the full 3D model, so you get that full kind of high-res detail. So all sorts of little tricks like that to optimize your scene.
Yeah, and there's another, like, level of detail is another, and I think we're going to be talking about that when we get into the optimization module. But basically, you know, you want to think about your models, too. You can do high-res models if it's only going to be, like, one thing you're seeing on the, and we're just talking mobile here, right?
Yeah.
If you're doing PC, go nuts, right? Or Xbox or other things.
Crazy.
Go crazy. But, you know, on mobile devices, you know, you really want to be cognizant of the elements you're putting and the elements you have on the screen at the same time and doing level of detail, which means, you know, you could do a high-res model, like the highest you can, but then maybe use a tool like, there's a tool that I use all the time called TopoGun, where you can bring in a really high-res model and then retrace it at a really low, like, resolution and low try count, but bake in all that detail from that high-res model. So it's almost like you're faking what you see, but you're also optimizing. And then you can do different levels of that depending on if you were doing, you know, far up and there's characters in the distance, you could have a really low try count because you're not seeing all that detail. But then as it gets closer, it's actually swapping out different models and you're getting, you know, you're eventually getting that high-res model. So
are you saying we might see some of the topo optimizations in our optimizations module?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. A little hint of some things.
Yeah.
And that's module 6. That's our first module tomorrow.
Yeah, that's tomorrow. So yeah, we're going to do some really cool stuff with that.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
But meanwhile, I will get the Triceratops, the cyborg barbarian Triceratops alien thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to
get
that finished. We're going to throw it up probably tonight or soon that everybody can download.
In the next couple days, definitely we'll have content.
Okay, in the next couple days. And then I would love to throw that in a Unity project, just really simple to show you how I take that, create a sprite sheet, take all those elements, and then you can animate them and stuff.
I see. So even more cool things to come after this session today.
Really, really cool.
Well, thank you for joining us. Just a reminder, we're going to be taking a meal break. We'll return in about an hour, and then we're going to be covering 3D games. So we'll see you then.
Cool.